Still, the opportunity is open. I've got one word that Dan is going to, or I'll share. Do you want me to share that, Dan? That's okay. Well, I can do that. But I'm not going to share that. I'm going to give you an opportunity yet if you have something that was very good this last week that has happened and you'd want to share that. That's always a building of the body of Christ. Given that opportunity, all right. All right. So, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. That's what they say on Sunday mornings. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thinking about this last week, and just thinking about what God's doing on the earth, if you've noticed, there's a big shaking going on the earth, if you've noticed that, from the natural to the spiritual. So you have to understand that if it's happening in the natural, it's probably happening in the spiritual. And whether that be good or bad, or in between, God still wins. And he knows who to lift up, who to take down. And he's in control. Amen? Okay, I'm glad a couple of you believe that. He is in control. All right. Well, I've been thinking about freedom, and Dan had shared this morning that it's time and to watch to see where people are. It's time to be able to witness to them, whether it be on the streets, whether it be in different places. It's like a window that God has opened. That you can share your testimony, that you can share what Jesus has done for you and with you. And so that was the testimony. Did you have anything more on that? Did you?
Well, it's just time to, ask the Lord for, words for people.
Okay.
So that when you go out, sometimes that little word will open the door so that when you do tell a testimony, it has some weight to the person listening.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
At the time, I think he's pouring that out more.
Okay.
We just need to be intentional.
Okay, so with purpose, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really believe that. If you go in the morning thinking about purpose, that you're going to witness to someone, even a God bless you. I remember Marcia Canutola. She thought I was a strange person because every time I'd see her, when I was leaving, I said, "Well, God bless you, Marcia." And that was strange to her. And, she'd brought that up about a year after I had met her. And it called us peculiar people. I guess that was peculiar to anyone to hear that. And so, whatever we do, towards the witness that we have, it'll be surprising what it does for people's lives. Amen? Okay. Well, I was thinking this morning I was going to look into John 8 and verse 30. And this is Jesus speaking. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now, I just want you to hear the word believe. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, so he had two believing him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Okay? And then it went on, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay? So there's several different things that are going on as Jesus was talking with the Jewish disciples and instructing also those that didn't believe that if they would believe that they would abide in his word and become a disciple. And you remember there was 12 disciples that were picked out, and then to be a disciple you had to believe. Okay? To be a disciple, if you're going to hang around someone, if it's a casual deal, I believe in Jesus. But when you say in your heart, you know, I believe like Jesus. You know, I believe like Jesus. You know, in my life as a young person, I believed in Jesus. I mean, you know, I believed that Jesus was Jesus, and so that wasn't qualifying me to believe like Jesus. Because when you start believing like Jesus, your life starts changing, right? When he said to Nicodemus, who was very religious, he had it all there, he said, you must be born again. That was a place that he was religious, he understood a lot of things, but he did not act like Jesus. Amen? It was, I believe, Jesus, you're there, but do you believe like Jesus? And I think that's very, very important for our thought in this, because the next verse says, they answered him, and of course these were the Jewish leaders, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Okay? How can you say you will be made free? Okay? And so here, people that really knew a lot about the things of God and about reading, they knew Jesus, they believed in Jesus, they believed in God, but they didn't believe that they would be like Jesus. And have you run into people in your own personal life? Well, you know, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Okay, but do you believe like Jesus? You know, do you believe like Jesus? And when you see Jesus, what happens? Or when you experience the Jesus being born again, what happens to you? There's a dramatic change in your life. I mean, when you start believing like Jesus. You know, I went to a Lowell Lundstrom meeting at Super Bowl Sunday many, many years ago, and I believed in Jesus. I just didn't believe like Jesus, you know. And when the evangelist was speaking, something happened in my heart, and I started believing like Jesus. It was the first day I believed like Jesus. And when I believed like Jesus, something dramatically changed in my entire life. Okay, and so. You'd say, well, that's great that you gave your life to Jesus, okay? But I didn't only do that, I started believing like Jesus. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Jesus showed us the way to walk. He only did what the Father told him to do. So he believed like God. I mean, wow. Jesus, what are you doing? Well, I'm just doing what my Father told me to do. You know, and so it's not difficult. It wasn't difficult to give my life to Christ. I had to make the walk, of course, and it was a long walk. But when I gave my life to Christ, I become born of the Spirit, and my life changed, okay? Very first deal. That was a good deal. So in this verse it said, and he spoke these words, many believing in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, it's so important that we believe him, but not only that, is that when you looked at Jesus, the disciples literally left everything that they were involved in to believe that Jesus was the answer. And Jesus, for 3 years, 3.5 years, the disciples went and they followed him. See, it's pretty important to become a disciple. And the word disciple means disciplined learner. Okay? So you have to become a disciplined learner. Okay. Okay, so then that means that you should get a hold of the Bible and you should read. Not necessarily. I think it's very good because it does say here if you abide in my word, okay, so when you read the word of God, what happens? You're abiding and you're hearing something that will change your life. Amen. Now, what I asked for something today was, is something good happened in your life today or this last week? Well, in believing something good is going to happen to you, you could possibly get up and you could have went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and had something good that happened to you in each of those days. Amen? But we have to become active, because when I become born again, something changed in me. But if I wouldn't walk that out, it wouldn't take over my life. If it wasn't a belief system that I started believing, now this is pretty powerful. 3 weeks after I gave my life to Christ, I believed that I was going to heaven and not hell. That's pretty powerful. I'm not going to hell anymore. Wow, that's a good deal. How did I get that? I read the Word, and enough people said, hey, you're not going to hell now, you're going to heaven. And in 3 weeks, I said, I'm going to heaven. You know, pretty powerful. I'm not going to hell. You know, we used to talk about hell. Well, that's just a place where all our buddies are going to get together and we're going to have a big, you know, kegger or something. But then I read what hell was all about, and I said, man, I don't want to go there in any way, shape, or form. But that was on a later date. But 3 weeks later, I believed I was going to heaven. So my belief system began to take over my life, and I become free. Who the Son sets free, and it's interesting, in the Scripture it says, the truth will make you free. Okay? So when you get a hold of the truth and you start repeating the truth, it makes you free. So I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm free. Okay? So then I went into this church service that was very, very strange to me compared to my home church. But I went in there and these people were doing different things. You know, they were singing and clapping their hands. And I'm going, this is one weird place, man. And I said, well, I could just as well join in, because they'd get up and they'd say stuff like this. They'd say, you know, if you praise the Lord, he will inhabit your praises. Okay, well, we can do that. It was difficult, you know. You started clapping in church, of course. I mean, you don't clap in church. You don't say nothing, at least where I come from. You don't say anything like that. And here, this challenge is that you're going to clap in church. Okay, great revelation. You know, I mean, I should have read the Word, you know, through three times, the Bible, and then I could get some freedom. Man, all I did was start clapping. Because they said, the Word said this, and I started clapping, and it made me free. You know, I was made born again. I was made free by clapping. Okay? So, it was, you know, it was very strange. And then this lifting of hands, like this here. Oh, wow. That's, now you're going too far. You stayed too long. Never do that again. And it was like, okay, when you get picked up by the law enforcement and he says, get your hands in the air. All right. That was kind of my thought the first time I did it. And I wasn't like this. I was like this here. And then I was looking around to see if anyone was looking at me. And no one was looking at me because they were having their own issues in all of it. And some of them were just out there. I mean, they're gone, you know. I mean, those folks are gone. So, you know, the first day I went like this, and the second time, maybe the third time, that's pretty cool. And I looked around and no one was looking at me. I was thinking that I was having, you know, everyone's looking at me. No one was looking at me. They were looking really at the Lord. And because it says when you raise your hands, something happens in freedom. Who the Son sets free, you've been free indeed. You've been made free. Isn't that the way it is? And every situation that I applied, that I read in the Word and I began to apply it, how about crabby in the morning? You know, I mean, I declared that 100 times. I'm not a morning person. I'm crabby in the morning. Leave me alone. Stay away from me until about 10 o'clock. Don't slurp your coffee. I don't like slurping. Even if I do, it doesn't make any difference. Do not slurp your coffee before 10 at least. You know, you'd say, well, is that what God's talking about? Absolutely. He's talking about making us free. Amen? And unless we apply it to our lives, each thing applied to our lives, you'll never get set free. You see, you'll be just like the religious people. I mean, they knew everything, but they knew nothing as far as what the Son, believing in the Son, would do. It wasn't anything so great. Prosperity. I remember prosperity. I mean, they talked about prospering and God could prosper you and all that stuff. I'm going, oh, come on now. How about sickness? Some guys come over to my house and said, I don't have to be sick anymore. You know, I'd always get sick, real sick, one time a year. I would store up medicine. Every once in a while, I'd buy Vicks. Of course, Vicks is very, very important because when you get smelling Vicks, you know that something's sick in the house. So I'd have Vicks, and I'd have aspirin, I'd have Anacin, I'd have, you know, the heavier stuff if I really got sick, cough medicine. So I'd prepare for that sickness time. And these guys come over and broke my paradigm. Who the Son sets free. You know, I said, well, what do you mean you can fight sickness like that? Oh, yeah. So I said, okay, I believe that because they showed me the word. They showed me Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. And they said, you were healed, you are healed. So, all right. So I started believing that. So now these guys come over and they're sick. Okay, the believers that told me that they're sick. But they're not believing they're sick. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? When you're sick, you should never say that you're well. Right? You just submit to sickness. I'm sick. I am going to get sicker. I better get some more medicine. Or will you fight the good fight that will set you free from sickness? Okay? So here these two clowns, really what I'd call them, they come over and they were telling me, yeah, we're sick, but we're fighting it. And of course, I didn't want to get sick, so I jumped in there with them. Well, I'm fighting it too because I didn't want to get sick. And we prayed and we kept on, and Darwin, he was sick. He was sweating, everything else. But you know what? We prayed through that and continued, and what would probably went on for a week, 2 weeks, went on for one day. Because we stood up to sickness. Isn't that our society today? We don't stand up for nothing and we don't expect nothing and that's what we get. But when you stand up for something and say, no, that's not true, that's a lie. And when you do that, people get very upset with you because they just figured that they can do anything and everything to you and to society and to everything else. And society starts going down the tubes, amen? Because good people not saying what's true, it turns out to be very, very bad. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so when the Son enters into your life and you start examining different things, you know, when abortion, I was born again in 1979, when abortion came, that was 73, I didn't care if the kids were aborted or not. That didn't bother me any. I didn't go to the abortion clinics and, you know, protest. I didn't, except I didn't believe in the one that could make me free. And so when I got a hold of abortion, now that was maybe 5 years after I gave my life to Christ. But God took me in that little building over there and he showed me what he thought of abortion. And what he felt, and I mean, it was so, I was there for an hour and I wept uncontrollably because I found out what he believed was abortion was. And when you have that experience, when you have a God Jesus experienced what he thought of the whole thing, you know, it was pretty mind-boggling. I left the church. I didn't become an advocate for the abortion rights and all that, but boy, I tell you what, when he showed me what he thought, I've never said, I don't care about the unborn children. I just don't. Never been the same again, because I had a Jesus moment. I believed in Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't come and twist your arm to make you free. When you believe, and it's in this word, and you read it, and you go, wow, that's what Jesus, then he will take you to the experience to make you free. It's always with an experience. But if you want to go there, now, financially, I said, well, I'd like to be set free financially. I mentioned it other times when our bills come in. When Jacob was born, we had insurance, but the insurance didn't go through. The union I worked for, it didn't go through. So we had something like $150,000 worth of hospital bills. Okay, so it wasn't very difficult to give that to Jesus and saying, set me free, Jesus. You know, hey, Jesus, we got these bills. Or they could have put three, four more zeros behind it. It wouldn't have made no difference. $150,000 was $150 million as far as I was concerned. In a short period of time, in a year and a half, it was all gone. You know, I didn't know how it was going, but it was all gone. And it wasn't that I got a big job and Jake went out and he worked real, real hard. It was miracles that Jesus showed me that I can pay bills. I can do things that would blow your mind. I remember the first time Marlin Motors in Burgess, Minnesota, and we wanted a new car. Well, we didn't have money for a new car, but Marlin Motors, he had a car that wasn't new, but it was a nice car. And Marlon had a job that I could do, and then he was going to give me that car. But before I did that, I believed, and Sandra believed, that we could get a car. We talked about it. And so Marlon came along, and he said, I got this floor to pour, and if you get that floor poured, then this is what you can pick. And I'm trying to remember the model of the car. I think it was about a 1972, and it was a nice car. And you know, in 1 week's time, I was driving a new car, considered a new car to me. This is what God can do. You know, I remember I'd borrowed $10,000, and again, $10,000 to start out a business, and we set up a plan that we're going to pay the business off in 2 years. So we started the first year. I could make enough money to feed the family, literally, that's, and pay the bills. That's what I could make that money. And so it went from May, June, July, August. I was making enough to eat, but the loan was coming. And so I get into October, and now I'm pretty nervous. And so I'm going, okay, how's this all going to work out? And a pig farmer called me, and he says, I've got two barns that need pouring, and this is what you're going to get. And I figured it out, and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to need for the job. And it was exactly what I needed. It was $5,000 that I was going to get for pouring those two barns for him. And so I become more than a conqueror. Here was $5,000, and it was in November, it was due, and I walked in and I paid that $5,000, and I got two pigs on top of it all. Not alive, but we had a lot of pig that winter. We ate more pig than, I was so sick of eating pig that, you know, you can have an occasional pork chop in this, but we had a lot of pig. Miracles. You know, the next year come around, and of course I had more faith now because I had that type of miracle, but you see, it was by believing him, not by me having the deal And I was so good, and everyone knew that I was such a great concrete person. No one knew who I was or anything. So Lake Park, Minnesota, I'm out in Lake Park, and in my mind, it was going like this: you'll never get this job. It's a whole lumber yard. It was 700 yards of concrete. And if you know how much 700 yards of concrete is, it is a lot of concrete. I mean, it was like parking lots and buildings, three big buildings that were hundreds of feet long. And here I get this job. Why did I get it? I don't know why I got it, except I needed $5,000 to pay for my loan. And this was in the fall. And I said, if I could get that, I could possibly. But I didn't, in my mind, I said, well, could I really get that? So went home and said, well, let's agree. Let's agree on this. Jesus, we're wanting this job. Now, this is a lot of work. I don't even have a crew. And I said, okay, Jesus, we're believing that we're going to get this job. And you know what? When we believed Jesus, he set us free and we got the job. And what happened there, I had the parking lot was not poured yet. But he ran out of money. So I got paid, and that paid for the loan the second year, okay? Because I believed in Jesus. Not because I was such a great worker or such a great business person. It was because I believed. When you believe, he will set you free. He'll make you. He'll make you the man, the woman that you need to be. And it's just like, okay, well, what, did I have this plan? No, it was an everyday Jesus that showed up every day and brought me through so I didn't go crazy over $10,000. Okay, this is the way it works. You know, this is how we fight our battles. The army that's around us is surrounding us, look like we're going down. But the army of God is surrounding them and we're going up. Amen. And so when we got that loan paid off, I was so excited. Maybe this isn't big for you, but man, I was excited. Did it happen in church? Did you have an experience? You know, I'm thinking about the zap experience. When you get zapped, oh, there's a great evangelist coming to Thief River Falls or a great prophet of God or something. And if I could get to him, if I could get prayed by him, then I know that I'd be free. I know that I'd be free then. And you know what? Many times you'll get there and you get prayed for and you get zapped. Wow! The zap anointing has arrived. And something happens to you and you believe. And wow, you know, this is what Jesus did for me. But a year later, you're back in the same line fighting the same thing because you didn't have it in you, made in you after the image and likeness of God himself named Jesus. Amen? And when you get into Jesus, he'll do things, he'll blow your mind. If you find it in the Word and you say, now I'm going to apply it. All right? There was people that, you know, they didn't apply it, so it didn't work for them. So Jesus said to the Jews, believe. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So when we're abiding in his word, was I a disciple? Was I an apostle or this or that? No, I was just a believer that started abiding in his word. Wow, it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working for me. And the more I abided in the Word, the more excited I got. You'd say, well, you know, a Christian, you know, you don't have to live on excitement. Well, it is nice to have some excitement in your life. Amen? Well, I'm a Christian now. You know, I'm going to nail myself to the cross. You can't nail yourself to the cross, right? But you got enough people around that'll help you with it. Amen? Friend and foe. Praise God. So there's a difference between believing in Jesus and believing like Jesus. Amen? Amen. I could, I'm so, this is so important. I believe like Jesus. I read it in the Bible. I read when the Assyrian army come against Elisha and the servants, and they were surrounded, and they said, man, we are in trouble. Elisha said, if you could see the army that surrounds the enemy, you wouldn't, it'd be small stuff. There are things in our lives, unless we go there to fight that fight, you'll not get the result of what you're looking for. Abiding in his word and then going and being set free. I believe in healing. In fact, Jeff, would you grab that one prophetic word? I think it's on the door. We'll pin it up again. Way back, open that door, and if you'd take that. A prophetic word, we've been into game changers, okay? A prophetic word is really the word that God has spoken so that we could be set free, all right? Now, if you think about two people in agreement or one person in agreement, when you get sick, who wants to agree with me that I'm not going to be sick anymore? Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Okay. My thought, if I'm going to get sick, instead of saying I'm too sick to go to church, I said I'm going to go to church, and if I'm too sick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit and I'm going to lay in the front of the door of the church, and you all can lay hands on me. If I die there, praise God, no problem. But if the word of the Lord has come to us and we reject it, then we'll not get our upgrade, right? Because when we abide in the word, this is one word, there's a cloud of healing that will rest in this place. And because of the atmosphere of healing, when people walk in the door, they will be healed even before they get into their seat. Lord, I thank you right now that you are releasing a mandate for miracles. Hours of healing. I like that. Okay, do you know anyone that's very, very seriously sick right now? If it's not you, are you worried about them?
Come on.
You know, that's the question. Because if you're not worried about them, don't worry, you don't need healing until you need healing. But they need healing now. And if we get one together, or two together, or three together, and we're fighting, different things in life, can we believe together? Could we take maybe a time, an hour of prayer meeting for the person or persons that are fighting these terrible, terrible things. And you know what? I believe in believing is going to change the circumstance.
Come on.
But if we just keep on going, I'm not sick, so I don't have to worry about it. You say that you're worried about it, but I don't hear too much about prayer meetings praying for the person that's dying. Yeah, are you hearing what I'm saying? Believing is actually an action word. When I walked forward and asked Jesus to come into my life, it was a simple deal, but it happened. It was a miracle-working deal. Here's a word right here. It said if we would start believing this place for healing, people would get healed. Start believing. Most people don't believe in healing. But most people aren't you. Amen? You're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I desire to ask for prayer. I love an evangelist to come to this place, a prophet to come to this place, and just get us all just fired up and everything else. I love that, but you can't live on that. The zap anointing might happen, but you can't live on that. You have to live in reality of who has called you and believe in him. Amen? And Jesus was our example. He believed God. Anything that God said, he believed it. And so not one time did Jesus fail in any way, shape, or form, because he believed in the Father. Amen? And then the Father gave him all authority, so when we believe in Jesus, everything is possible. Amen? Just think if you started doing things like that, it'd be a while. Maybe we get to the place, I believe that Jesus wanted me to believe and be baptized. So you got to baptism, all right? Okay, then in the book of Acts, It said that the Holy Spirit is going to fall, and you're going to receive power from on high. Most people say, I'm not going there. I don't want to go there. And so they don't receive the power from on high. Well, but if they would believe, if they'd only believe. And we've had the shift. That was 4 years ago. You remember the shift? Yeah, some of you do. The shift, we've had game changers, which is the shift, is that we're not thinking the way that we used to think. We're not thinking the way we used to be. We're thinking about what God has called us to be. Amen. I am a game changer because I believe that the Word of God is saying this, and I'm going to stand there. And if you don't stand there, the enemy will talk you out of your victory. He'll talk you out of the victory because there's a lot of enemy. But if you're fighting the battle like God's fighting the battle, there are angelical visitation to you every day of the year. Amen. So the Zap deal, thank God for the evangelists and everything, and I'm hoping that we're going to have that type of conference and healings and miracles and signs and wonders. I want that. So, but Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. These words will cause a revolution in your life. You want a revolution? Just start believing for the wildest things that you could believe. Get your wife, get your children, and start praying that type of deal. I believe that Jesus can take these things on. The truth shall make you free. These words will bring a great, great revolution in your life. Jesus was free because he believed the truth in every area of his life. He believed it in provisions. Did you ever hear Jesus say, well, I need this, and I need that, and I need that? He didn't. Identification, did Jesus know who he was? Well, he absolutely did. I mean, when you start flopping your jaw saying, I'm the Son of God, you know, you're gonna take some persecution. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm prosperous. Why are you prosperous? Because I believe in God. You're gonna be persecuted for your belief system, especially if you start speaking it out, which we should. And so Jesus, he talked about health. I never heard about Jesus being sick. I know he was a young man. Power? Was he filled with power? Every time he showed up on the job, there was healings. We believe in healings. If you believe in healings, you believe in Jesus. And I really believe that healing is a trademark of the power of God, and healing should go with churches that believe in healing. People should get healed, right? Amen. All right. Just working with you. Okay, personal belief, truth in each aspect of our lives. We need to personally take that and start believing it. As we do, we will take our freedom beyond a meeting and live it consistently in our lives. Truly, a victory mindset. Okay? A victory mindset. I want a victory mindset. In closing, there was a testimony, and if that's all I can do is I can give my testimonies. But I had a pastor that was my pastor for many, many years. And after I found this new life called Christianity, called being born again, I kind of dissed him and disrespected him, okay? He called me and he was asking, and I called him a Pharisee. I didn't even know, you know, I mean, I'd been saved for three months and I'm calling the pastor a Pharisee, you know, just like I knew something. Just read it, hadn't changed my life. But I called him this. Well, the next week, the Holy Spirit come visiting me. Not anyone, but the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to call him and repent. I'm going, well, it's true. You know, I wanted to fight with God. Well, it's true. He is a Pharisee. And the Holy Spirit would not release me of it. So Sunday morning come around, and I knew that he was going to be there. So I called, and his wife answered. Joanne, his wife, answered. And I said, would you please tell Pastor Buka, would you please tell him that I'm sorry for calling you or calling him names and disrespecting him? And you know what Joanne said? His wife, she said, I feel the Holy Spirit. I'm going, okay. And I felt pretty good because I didn't have to talk to Pastor Buka. All right? And so in that repentance, I felt good about it. It really made me feel good. But about 2 months later, he's on Highway 10 on that curb heading for Perham, and he has a fender bender. And he gets out, and he was going to go check the other people in the other car to see if anyone was hurt. And when he got out, he walked over there, and he had an aneurysm, and he died right on the spot. And when I heard this, I thought, thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing me that I needed to get up off of it and say sorry. It works even in difficult things. Husbands, maybe to your wives. Wives to your husband. It was a disrespect issue for me towards this man and man of God. It was a disrespect. And I just said, well, any other time I would have just dismissed it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit was making me free. And when I repented, it made me free, and I think I would have took that to my grave, him dying without me saying sorry. I really believe that's a tough place. But once I did it, I was made free. And in our lives, we can be made free if we apply the Word of God that comes to you in an everyday way, and your life will be changed. Amen. And this might be real, real close to you. It's testimony time. Like Dan said, get out and tell somebody about Jesus because it'll change their life. Amen. We had Abraham get up here and pour out his heart, telling about what he'd been in and what he's going through now. That makes a difference. It changes people's lives. Amen. I challenge all of us to do what the Word has called us to do, even as Dan brought that prophetic thing, is get out and believe Jesus. Get out and just show Jesus in the earth that we live in. Maybe you got someone that you're in Crossways right now. Just a sorry can make a big difference. Amen. This is living Jesus, walking 24 hours a day in consistency. Father, we thank you for your word. We believe right now, Lord, that your word is powerful. We believe, Lord, that the engrafted word of God is saving our souls right now. God, that we've been saved, but God, we're being saved. That our mind, will, and emotions are being saved right now. God, that we would not leave this place without saying Jesus. Jesus, I need your guidance. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your life in me. I need to believe. And whatever I find when I start believing, I will start seeing the unfolding of the miraculous. Yes. We believe that we serve an everyday Jesus, and he's working miracles, signs, and wonders every day. Yes. We lift up our sister Deb right now. We come against sickness in Jesus' name. We come against leukemia, blood disease in Jesus' name. We believe that Jesus can heal Deb. We believe that when she's fighting a personal fight with this enemy of the cross and the enemy of the Word of God and the enemy of Jesus, that we will stand up and we will be heard. God, we believe that in the United States of America, that in God we do trust. And that we will stand up and say, I trust God. Because it even tells us on our coin, in God we trust. I believe, Lord, that we can stand up and we can be a voice on the earth. And it's not going to be a popular voice, but it'll be a true voice that will make us free. And we thank you and we praise you for this now. In the name of Jesus, we set the congregation here at Community Church in this direction, that this is a healing place, and we're going to see signs, wonders, miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.